Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program. One of the things we love about real estate is leverage. You don't need all the money to buy real estate, and that magnifies returns, but not everyone can qualify for traditional financing. Does that mean you're out of the game? Absolutely not. You'll find out why today on the Real Estate Guys radio program.
Worldwide demand is making coconuts one of the highest yielding cash crops available today. Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and many high net worth individuals have invested billions of dollars into coconuts for strong growth and solid long-term income. Yields could be as high as 18% or more per year. Capital appreciation and exceptional income for up to 60 long years could be an absolutely brilliant investment to pass on to future generations. For more information, qualified accredited investors should email coconuts@realestateguysradio.com. Diversify wisely with direct ownership of fully managed coconuts on prime farmland close to the beautiful Costa Rican border. Email coconuts@realestateguysradio.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. For more information, email coconuts@realestateguysradio.com.
Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio show. I'm your host, Robert Helms. With me, as usual, co-host financial strategist Russell Gray.
Hey, Robert.
You know, one of the things about real estate that we love is you don't need all of the money to buy a property. It's very, very common for a real estate investor to acquire maybe 20 or 30 or 40% of the purchase price and then get a lender to make a loan, and we call that leverage.
Yeah, leverage is great. Leverage magnifies equity growth. It allows you to acquire assets and short the dollar. And so if you believe that the long-term trend in the dollar going down is going to continue, then you can acquire dollars from the future and move them into today, go buy something and have it cover the cash flow, make the payments for you, pick up some tax breaks along the way. This is really the essence of real estate investing, and then pay those dollars back later when they're worth less.
Well, not only that, you don't actually pay them, because if you do it right, the tenant pays. See, the tenant's going to pay you rent, and out of that rent, you're going to have enough money to cover your expenses, your utilities and upkeep and maintenance and some reserves, but hopefully also pay the debt service, the loan payment. When you get into commercial financing, which is, you know, 5+ units and retail buildings and offices and so forth, then lenders absolutely require that enough money comes in plus some so that you can easily pay the mortgage payment. They call that debt coverage ratio. If I'm going to have 1.5, say, debt coverage ratio, that means I've got enough money to pay 1.5 times the mortgage amount so that the lender knows I'm not going to be in trouble. But when you're starting out in real estate, a lot of residential investors buy a single family house or a condominium or duplex, and there, the lender is very concerned about two things. Number one, how are you going to make the payment? So they're going to look to you primarily in your credit and your cash and your income sources. And number two, they'll look at your tenant. And then the second thing is, what happens if you don't? And so your property becomes the collateral for a loan. When we went through the downturn 10 years ago, we saw that a lot of folks didn't have enough protective equity in their property, and they lost control of the cash flow. They lost control of the property's ugliness. So when we get a loan on property, we want to be prudent about it. We want to make sure that we can afford the payment, but so does the lender.
Yeah, and I think you're bringing up really a great point, because so many people who want to get into real estate investing study real estate. They study the property. They study markets. They concentrate on property management and operations. And all those things are really, really important. One of the things they don't pay that much attention to is debt. And they don't really realize one of the most important functions of a real estate investor is managing that portfolio, not of properties, but of debt. And when you understand all of the different tools you have to manage that portfolio of debt, to expand that portfolio of debt, to make sure that that portfolio of debt is controlling property in a prudent way, as you mentioned, Robert, managing that cash flow. And then it shifts over, because when you get your portfolio gets big enough, it goes from where you're managing a property to where you're managing a portfolio. And the infrastructure that you need to cover a bigger portfolio starts to become a business in and of itself. Now you're dealing with business and the financing needs of business. So it's an evolution. And if the sooner you begin to study debt, and understand the different types of debt products that are out there that are designed to fit different aspects of both your investing life and your business life, the quicker you're going to get up to speed and recognize when you have a problem, how to apply the right solution.
Yeah, debt's an interesting topic, right? Robert Kiyosaki was on the show last week, and of course, one of the things he always says is he loves real estate, but the reason he loves real estate is it allows him to get into debt. He thinks debt, the right debt, is a very good thing because of leverage and tax benefits and all of that. Well, debt of itself, people have interesting feelings about. Some people are raised to believe that debt is bad, to not to borrow money, to get out of debt. Other people can recognize that there's a difference between good debt, that's debt on something that increases in value and puts money in your pocket, or bad debt, like high interest rate credit cards, where you just blow a lot of money on things you don't need and then have high interest rates to pay. That's not a good kind of debt. But as a real estate investor, it's a critical tool. And we use debt prudently when there is debt available. Sometimes there's not. We personally own property in multiple countries, and there's some countries for which there's either limited or zero debt available, and so your investment has to make sense on a cash basis. When you buy in a market where there's debt available, it's interesting to look at because of the leveraged effect that you talked about, which is the fact that if I put, say, 20% down and the property goes up by some amount, then the part that goes up by the 20% is mine to keep, and so is the part that the 80% increases, because the bank, the lender, doesn't get any of the upside equity in most situations. So we love debt. Here's what happens, though. You buy a property and you get a loan and you sit with your loan professional and they qualify you and go over your income and your credit score and those things. And you like it because you've got a property now where someone's paying that payment for you plus the other expenses, and you have positive cash flow of a few $100 a month. So you save up down payment, you do it again, you do it again. Pretty soon you discover that once you have some loans under your belt, it gets harder and harder to get more. We get to what we call Fannie and Freddie'd out. This is when you've reached the maximum amount of traditional financing that you can get.
Right. And that's your goal. I mean, your goal is to continue to accumulate debt. I think one thing you said there, Robert, that is worthy of discussing just a little bit further is this idea of kind of what season you're in. You know, you talked about, hey, we are in some markets where debt's not available. Well, there are going to be economic cycles where debt's not available. And so it's sometimes there's no debt available or very little, hard to get, it's expensive, it's really hard to qualify for. Then there are seasons where there's plenty of debt available, but it's well underwritten, it's prudent on the lender side. And then there's those silly seasons where they're just throwing money at you. And I know personally, I got caught up in a time when money was so easy, they were literally making bad loans. And you're so hungry to get loans that what you end up doing is you take on bad debt because it's available. And so one of the things you have to understand as a borrower is just because the lender will approve you doesn't mean it's a good loan for you. Lenders get stupid too. And so when you combine a stupid borrower with a stupid lender, then you end up with a stupid amount of debt in your portfolio and it ends badly.
Well, it gets even worse than that. You might end up with a bad property because loans are so available. You say, well, this property didn't make any sense before, but now if I can borrow the money to get it, and we saw people do that as well. So I think we'll save prudent selection of property for another day. But today, what happens in the real world is you get to a point as a borrower or in your real estate business where you can no longer seek these traditional forms of financing, where you can't get a conforming loan, where you can't get a loan from a bank, and you have to start looking other places.
Yeah, exactly. So this is where you're talking about portfolios, and you're not dealing necessarily with individual properties. So that's one aspect of it. Then the other part of it is when you're changing the types of properties because you move into other asset classes where the financing is available. There are times when certain asset classes get hot, and there's a lot of money chasing it, and there's other asset classes that become very out of favor with lenders, and the people who are investing in the debt, and I know that sounds backwards because we're real estate investors, we use debt to invest in properties. But income investors use debt to acquire streams of income. They don't want rents, they want interest from you. And your job is to create arbitrage between the income you have coming in on the property and the payments you have going out to the lenders. But the lenders are looking at you as an asset. They're looking at you as an investment. And so there are times where whatever you're doing, or sometimes who you are and the way you've run things, where you become undesirable, and you either will pay more or not have debt available to you, either because of you or because of the asset class. So again, this is what I'm saying at the top of the show about the idea of studying debt, understanding how to use debt, understanding how the supply chain of debt works, where the money comes from, and everybody who feeds it down to when you actually get it, what their motivations are, when they are going to be moving towards you and interested in making loans to you, and how to make yourself look attractive to them, and then when they're going to run away from you and when your sources of funding could dry up. And that's where you have to understand, what are my alternative sources of funding? Because there's always funding available, but it's not always where you're used to going to get it.
So if you're at that place where you're stuck finding funding, or you're planning to be, then you're going to love today's show. When we come back, you're going to meet a gentleman that helps people find alternative sources of funding today on the Real Estate Guys radio program.
Live nationwide, you're listening to The Real Estate Guys. Find out more at realestateguysradio.com.
If you love real estate and have always wanted to own your own business, listen up. The Real Estate Guys and their panel of experts want to teach you how to go full-time fast in the real estate syndication business. These next few years may go down in history as one of the best times ever to acquire investment real estate. There are deals everywhere if you know where to look and how to assemble the resources. The Secrets of Successful Syndication Seminar will show you how to make big money doing big deals from a team of experts that have syndicated projects totaling more than $1 billion. Don't wait for someone to give you a raise or create a job for you. Attend the Secrets of Successful Syndication and learn how to build a team, raise capital, find deals, and make full-time money in 6 months or less. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events. All the big players use syndication as a way to diversify risk, optimize profits, and earn big money. You can too. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events.
If you love turnkey cash flowing real estate, then Indianapolis is your market. Forbes just rated it the number one market for renters. As real estate investors, we love renters. Find out if Indianapolis is the right market for you. Get a copy of Aaron Adams' Indianapolis Market Report by sending an email to indy@realestateguysradio.com. That's Indy, I-N-D-Y, @realestateguysradio.com.
Hello, this is Robert Kiyosaki. I'm the author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And if you're serious about learning how to invest in real estate, listen to the Real Estate Guys. They really know what they're talking about.
Welcome back to the Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks for tuning into the show. We're talking about alternative sources of financing for real estate. And the gentleman you're about to meet knows something about that. Let's welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program lender and listener, Joe Nielsen. Hey, Joe.
Hey. Nice to be here.
Great to have you on the show. You've been listening to the show for a while.
Actually, since 2007 and beyond, so I've been around the block.
Well, you brought your severely tattered copy of Equity Happens in today to get signed, so that shows us you've been around for a while. Tell us about how you got into real estate and your interest in investing.
Well, back in the day when I was in high school, actually, that was in 2005, just up the build-up to the real estate bubble.
Yeah.
I was watching infomercials, and everything was hot, hot, hot. Everybody wanted to get in it. And then I left, and it imploded. Luckily, I didn't jump in at that point. I was spared the wrath. But at the same time, my father actually lost his job due to corporate downsizing and bankruptcies. And at that point, I decided, hey, you know what? I want to do real estate like these people on the TV, but I don't want to be beholden to a corporate entity as well. So I want to be an entrepreneur and use the asset of real estate to bring me some income. And so when I was going through college, I decided to use some of that money that I had set aside and buy my first single property. And so I've built a small portfolio. We've been able to move into different markets across the United States. And here I am. Real estate's great.
Excellent. Well, we always appreciate when folks who are servicing real estate investors also eat their own cooking, so to say. That's one of the critical questions to ask, right? Ask your lender, hey, do you own any property yourself? And what's interesting is, of course, you've been through the process of qualifying for loans and that whole thing, and that's kind of led you fast forward all these years to now you help real estate investors in a variety of ways. So let's talk about why there's a need for alternative financing. We covered some of it at the beginning of the show, but from your perspective, who is it that needs what you guys offer?
Well, a lot of people got smashed. A lot of their credit ratings got hit, their personal credit. So a lot of investors who even had portfolios before are actually coming to the market to get more real estate, but their credit is hammered. Traditional banks and credit unions won't even look at them because of their credit. Oftentimes, their debt to income is way out of whack, according to the bank and credit union guidelines as well. Oftentimes, that's where I step in and I help educate them on alternative routes of financing. In the private world of capital, a lot of these capital providers are much more prudent. They don't have a government backing them that says, hey, you know what, make any kind of loan you want, and if it goes sour, we'll step in and take care of it for you.
Right.
So a lot of these lenders, they come to the table with their own experience as well, their own portfolios, and they will underwrite the properties and the investor based on the experience and the strength of the asset itself.
Well, there's definitely advantages to your traditional funding sources from banks and credit unions and those things, but we've always loved private money. Private money is flexible. Private money has a greater understanding of the client, the market usually, the property, and so forth. And there's all kinds of levels of private capital, right? There's banks certainly that are private banks that do then funds and so forth, but then there's individuals. Sometimes we call it hard money lending. And the hard part isn't that it's that difficult to get. It's that generally the terms are a little different. You might have to put more money down. You might have to pay a little higher interest rate. You may pay a couple of extra points in fees. But what you get in terms of a trade-off is the flexibility. So talk about the kinds of product types that you help investors get into.
Great. Yeah. So the product types are, if you have a traditional mortgage, we can do it on the private side. A privately held 30-year amortization loan on a single-family property or a 1-to-4 unit. That's fantastic. And like you mentioned, Robert, the rates are going to be a little bit higher, and your LTVs or your loan-to-values are going to be a little bit lower. But that just means that you're going to have to be a little bit smarter and a little bit more prudent, to use the word that's been going around today. And a lot of these investors and real estate lenders, they like that because it's safe. We've come out of an area that was overheated and it's very unsafe, and so they're trying to keep things at a long-term perspective. Another thing that investors really enjoy is, you mentioned fretted and fannied out earlier.
Right.
A lot of these folks, they go out in their own account and they build up a portfolio of 10 properties or so, but then they go back to their bank or credit union and say, hey, could I get another loan on this great property that is going to perform well? And the bank says, sorry, we can't. You are maxed out. So what we do is we bundle or take those individually off of your private personal credit profile so that your debt to income ratio is freed up. Now you can go get the vehicle that you need or the financing for, you know, whatever it may be, and your debt to income isn't messed up.
Yeah.
Once those properties are privatized, then you can explode your portfolio with proper debt. You can go out and have as many transactions as you need or want with healthy debt.
Okay, so two things here. First of all, a private loan isn't necessarily going to show up on your credit report the way that a bank loan does.
Right.
But secondly, you have the ability to loan on a portfolio of properties. Imagine I got to that Fannie Freddie out. I've got 10 single family homes in different markets and they're all performing well and I'm getting better as an investor, so I don't get that 11th property. You guys can take that entire portfolio of mine, or maybe, you know, some of it, and then make a single loan? Is that how it works?
Absolutely. Now, there are some restrictions. For example, they have to be somewhat close together in geography. We can't do one in Florida and one in California. You know, it has to be a similar product type in a similar market as well.
Yep.
But yeah, we can do from 3 properties up to no max. So if you've got 20 properties that you have, we can wrap those all in what we call a portfolio or a blanket loan, get you one payment, one interest rate, one set of papers to deal with, and then that way you can move on and do other things. It's really flexible and it really clears up a lot of mess with the Freddie and Fannie Mae kind of scenarios.
All right. I know we've got lots of listeners who have perked ears right now because we meet folks at our events and things that are Fannie Frannied out and they're like, well, what do I do next? Do I have to buy apartments? Do I have to buy commercial? Not necessarily. This is a great way to get maybe some of that qualification back and get that 11th and 12th house. So what are the terms on those loans? What kind of equity value are looking, or loan to value if you've already owned the properties and it's a refinance? And then let's just talk about the fees and the points and the interest rates.
Sure. So the underwriting is actually going to be very similar to a multifamily apartment building. They're going to want to see solid occupancy of 80% or higher. They're going to want to see some good LTVs of 80% or lower as well. So they want to see that the portfolio, if they were to view it as a solid mass of units connected one to another, that it's performing well as a whole. If there are some units or single family homes in one area that aren't, they may not include that into the blanket loan, and that's okay. Fees and terms and that kind of thing, typically it's going to be a 20 to 30 year amortization. your rates are going to be a little bit higher than your bank financing. So you're going to look at between 7 and 9.5% on your portfolio rates. And typically they're fixed. Your rates are fixed for about 7 to 10 years. After which you can, depending on how they perform, you can go get some cash out just like you would a single family.
Well, what's great about this is if you think about the way that an investor acquires property, it's usually over a period of time. And I might have bought a property that was 20% down at the time, but it's gone up in value. And another property I bought with 20% down and it went up in value. And now I'm 5 years out and I look at my portfolio and I do have a lower LTV on my whole portfolio. Not only that, I'm now confident in the security of the rent, the durability of the tenant rent, because I've had the properties for a while. My property managers issued me reports. I can see that they're performing. I can show that to the lender, and the lender can say, yeah, we can consolidate that loan. You pay a little bit of a premium for it, but if what you're buying back is the ability to re-qualify for new Fannie and Freddie loans, that makes a ton of sense.
Absolutely, because the Fannie and Freddie loans are much more favorable in the interest rates, right? They're a lot lower, especially in this atmosphere of low rates, historically low rates.
Yeah.
So what you're essentially doing is you're managing your debt, like Russell was saying earlier, so that you can leverage prudent debt to acquire assets that produce well for you.
All right, good stuff. Now, let's take another scenario, which is someone who just for whatever reason, maybe it was the last time we had a downturn or maybe it's some other issue, they just don't have the credit worthiness to be able to get a Fannie or Freddie loan. Do you have a loan product for that person for just the acquisition of a duplex or a single family house?
We absolutely do. In fact, we have some larger lines of credit that are based on the experience of the investor and not necessarily their credit. So oftentimes you can go and get $1 million or more line of credit and it's specifically used for quick acquisitions of properties. Now you're still gonna have your LTV requirements of 80%, and you're still going to have your interest for the money that you're going to be using. However, you don't have to fill out application after application each time you're going to transact a property. And that gives a lot of high-level and high-volume investors a lot of flexibility in their chosen market.
I would think that would also work, depending on the terms of the loans, for rehab loans. We know a lot of folks who they buy a property, they fix it up. Some of them then sell that as a business, but others just hang on to the property. They're trying to, what we would call force equity, find a property that needs some work, do the work. And if I do that in an apartment, I can usually get CapEx, my capital expenditures to increase the value of the property, rolled into the loan. That's not always true for single-family loans. So it could be a way that you could acquire a property that needs some work through a tool like this.
Absolutely. For this specific tool, use it for acquisition, but you will actually have to bring in your own funds for the rehab.
Okay.
And that's absolutely fine because we have programs for that as well.
And then what about the person that's doing that? And let's say we do have somebody out there that's flipping properties. They're buying a property, taking 4 to 6 months to rehab it and selling it. Do you have a loan program that would help that kind of a person?
Absolutely. And that is super hot right now. It seems like everybody's doing it. And a lot of people, as far as the lenders look at that, they also want to see your history. They want to see that you're experienced in that kind of thing. Because a lot of people who see it on television, on the cable channels, they think, man, this is the easiest thing in the world to do. But a lot of times there's many, many pitfalls and expenses that they don't account for. And these lenders will actually help you by the underwriting and qualification process to identify what your budget is so that you can go out and transact responsibly. So there are plenty nationwide lenders who will facilitate your fix and flip business.
Well, that brings up a point too, because generally the lending business is regulated by state in the United States, different in different countries, but certainly in the United States, and not every lender is licensed in every state. Tell us about that part of your business. How broad of a geographic area do you guys work in?
So we do nationwide. We have several lenders who will do the fix and flip programs and also the private single family mortgage notes nationwide. They're licensed in pretty much every state. However, there are some states that they just choose not to work in.
Sure.
You know, low population areas where the cows outnumber the people and things like that.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make economic sense for a lender to do that. It's a little bit too risky. And so a lot of times it just really depends on where you're at. There are, like you mentioned too earlier, Robert, mom and pop folks who have some money set aside and they turn into private lenders or hard money. Oftentimes they know the local market very well, but their reach is very limited, right? They can only do within their neighborhood or something like that.
Yep.
The lenders that we work with, they have a network of contacts across the United States in various markets where they actually are very comfortable lending all over the place.
Our guest is Joe Nielsen. We're talking about alternative sources of financing. Just because you've run out of traditional financing doesn't mean you're out of the game. We'll have more from Joe, and we'll play Real Estate Trivia next. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Real estate investment advice right in your mailbox. Sign up for the free Real Estate Guys newsletter at realestateguysradio.com.
Hi, this is Patrick Donahoe, CEO of Paradigm Life. Wall Street and banks spend billions of dollars per year in advertising with the goal to convince you that they are the solution. But take a look around. None of their advice has worked. If you're listening to this, odds are pretty good that you're already a real estate investor, or at least becoming one. So why do you do it? Is it to hedge inflation, the tax benefits, or maybe it's to get your money away from Wall Street? It's because of these benefits and so many more that I created the Real Estate Investor's Guide to the Perpetual Wealth Strategy. When you combine successful real estate investing with the Perpetual Wealth Strategy, you have the recipe for what has helped the wealthy to establish their financial well-being for decades. You can download the Real Estate Investor's Guide to the Perpetual Wealth Strategy today by clicking the Resources tab on the Real Estate Guys Radio homepage. Don't wait, go download it now.
Too many people become victims of frivolous lawsuits and scammers simply because they were unprepared. At Corporate Direct, we use the latest legal tools to help our clients of all sizes create a strategy to protect what is theirs. Asset protection is not only for the wealthy. Our strategies and tools are very affordable and practical. Give us a call at 1-800-600-1760 or go to corporatedirect.com to see how we can help you. That's 1-800-600-1760 for corporatedirect.com.
Hi, this is Gene Epstein, economics editor from Barron's, and you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms. We're finding out today that you may not be stopped in your tracks just because you're Fannie and Freddie'd out. We're talking about alternative sources of financing for your real estate investing business. Before we get back to our interview with Joe Nielsen, it's time to play Real Estate Trivia. That's your chance to win a prize by knowing today's Real Estate Trivia question. It's going to have something to do with real estate, and as soon as you think you know what the answer is, quickly send us an email to trivia@realestateguysradio.com. trivia@realestateguysradio.com. Include your name, the answer to the question, and your physical mailing address, because if you're the winner, we're going to send you an awesome book by Robert Kiyosaki called Second Chance. Last week on the show, in fact, we had Robert Kiyosaki along with G. Edward Griffin and Simon Black, and we asked this. According to Guinness World Records, where was the largest sandwich made? Well, in Roseville, Michigan, by Wild Woody's Chill and Grill. It was created in March of 2005, and was a corned beef, cheese, and lettuce sandwich that weighed 5,440 pounds and was 12 feet long and 12 feet wide. Wow. Here's our real estate trivia question for this week. Which U.S. city has the most tennis courts per capita? Yep, the most tennis courts per capita. Which city in the U.S.? If you think you know or want to take a guess, quickly send your best guess to trivia@realestateguysradio.com. The first person with the right answer will win Second Chance by Robert Kiyosaki. That's today's real estate trivia question. We're talking about alternative sources of financing with Joe Nielsen. And Joe, some great different ways to approach investing there for properties. But actually do more than that. Let's talk about when somebody gets a business. They're buying a lot of property. Maybe they're a wholesaler. Maybe they're a rehabber. Maybe they're a real estate syndicator. And now they're taking their real estate endeavor to a higher level. There's some things you guys do like business lines of credit and so forth. Talk about some of those products.
Absolutely. In fact, if you read any good book about real estate investing, one of the pieces of advice that you get is treat it like a business, right?
Yep.
And a lot of times people, they start out as a hobby, and then a couple years down the road, they find out, hey, you know, I've got all these properties. What do I do with them, and how do I protect them, etc.? With the business lines of credit, for example, we can turn you or your business into a legitimate business that we can lend to. And then you can use those funds to go out and continue to expand your business operations. In this case, it would be investing in real estate.
Yep.
Whether that be your fixing and flipping or your buy and hold strategy, whatever it may be. Unsecured business lines of credit are very similar to personal lines of credit, except we secure them with a personal credit profile, but they report only to your business EIN. oftentimes these credit lines are double the amounts that you'll get on your personal credit side, so that you'll actually have more resources to go out and do what it is that you want to do.
Well, because these lenders understand that businesses need capital to function,
right,
and that if they're creating revenue and profits, they're going to be able to pay the loans back. How does that work? How do you establish how much a business is worthy to borrow? And then what are the terms? And does it roll over and those kinds of things?
Great question. So essentially they are, if you think of your personal credit card that you have in your wallet right now, it's a truly revolving account. You draw down on it, you pay it back, and it's available the next time you need to use it.
Yep.
Same exact scenario with the business lines of credit. So you can go use it for your acquisition, your money down, your rehab expenses, and then once you get that property sold and you have equity or money coming back, you pay it off and then use it for your next deal. Your rates and terms are going to be very similar to your personal credits. Once you get them secured, there's going to be a 6 to 18 month window of interest-free financing, which is fantastic if you turn that money over quickly and make some good profits. But after that, you're going to be in your double digits, just like a personal credit card.
Got it. But this could be an incredible tool for someone who's getting to that level where they're Fannie and Freddie'd out. It's starting to become less of a hobby and more of a business. And now they need just some of that working capital.
Absolutely. So a lot of those fix and flip folks, for example, they love this because now they can use their cash or their equity and put it into a deal. But now they have a very flexible form of cash in the form of a credit card to manage contractors and material costs and payroll if they have it and things like that. So anything that you can think of that you would need cash for, this can be used for that purpose.
All right, good stuff. Well, we're learning a ton today, and Joe has prepared a great report for you about lots of different tools you can put in your toolkit when it comes to financing, including these business lines of credit, which are good for a lot of different reasons. In the report, you talk about specifically the ROBS, Rollover for Business Startup Loan. What is that about?
So the ROBS, this is pretty much the holy grail of the qualified funds phenomenon that started back in the 70s. A lot of investors have been going to seminars for the last decade or so, learning about how to self-direct IRAs and 401ks into their assets, primarily real estate.
Yep.
And that's a fantastic avenue to do it, and I still highly recommend it. However, there are some limitations and restrictions, and we're all fairly versed in what those are. What the ROBS does, it allows you to roll over up to 100% of your qualified funds into a new business startup, 100% tax and penalty free. In addition to that, now that your company on that new startup company is funded, it is now working capital. There's no limits on how you use it. You can pay payroll, you can use it for material, you can go get a leveraged loan with it, multiple leveraged loans with it. It's entirely in the hands of a private business that you now own and control. It's really fascinating and flexible.
So let's talk about who the ideal borrower is for that program, because you're working with folks that are at the level where this makes sense for them. Who is the candidate for a ROBS?
For a ROBS. So a lot of folks who have, maybe they've been in the corporate world for several decades and they've changed jobs several times. Now they have a couple accounts that are just floating out in limbo that they don't know what to do with them.
Retirement accounts.
Retirement accounts,
yep.
Exactly. So they're not earning any kind of rate of return. They're thinking to themselves, well, how can I direct this money into something that's profitable and that I can control? So a lot of these folks, we can just roll over those funds into their new business, whether it be real estate investing, if they're starting a franchise, a donut shop, whatever it may be. Now we can get that money back into their hands to go do what it is that they want to do to produce some income.
And it wouldn't just be limited to real estate either.
Exactly. So a lot of businesses utilize this, a lot of startups in particular, and a lot of retirees actually like this. A lot of retirees have worked a long time to get to where they're at. They've got this nest egg, and they're very debt averse. Whether they like good debt or bad debt, it doesn't matter to them. They don't want to take on additional risk.
Plus, if they're retired, they may not have the income necessary to qualify.
Absolutely. That's another very important reason. So what we can do is direct this money into their new startup completely debt-free. They can fund their new business. So no longer do they have to go to the banks and fill out endless applications or worry about high interest rates or negative terms or things like that. they really have full control and they're in a debt-free position.
All right. This is great stuff. And before we're done, we're going to tell you how to get your hands on Joe's report, which is awesome, by the way. Let's talk about this. You are dealing with real estate investors at kind of every level, the person that's just starting and maybe doesn't have the perfect credit profile, all the way up to these folks that have portfolios they want to kind of optimize through these tools. Tell us what you see in terms of some of the mistakes people make, some of the things you wish clients knew before they sat down with you.
Oh, man. The primary thing that I do in my consultations is say, hold on, back up, let's prepare for financing before you go get a property under contract.
Right.
And so I've had several experiences where I get a phone call that says, hey, Joe, I have this property under contract. I just bought the assignment and we have to close in 10 days. Unfortunately for those folks, we can do it, but it's going to be very expensive.
Right.
And so they're going to kick themselves later. So what I like to really educate my clients about is prepare for your financing first and then go get your property that fits your strategy, your financing strategy. It really ties into what you guys call your personal investment philosophy.
Yeah, such a good point. And this is a big thing that people starting out don't quite understand. And it's because I think they get enamored of the property, the idea of owning property, the fact that the tenant's going to pay the mortgage. And they go out and they look at houses because that's how you make the income. Before you look at a property, like if I'm buying a house to live in, I should probably first sit down with the lender and my financial profile and say, Mr. Lender, how much could I afford to borrow? And based on that, then I decide what houses to look at, as opposed to deciding which neighborhoods I want to be in, which school I want to be near, right, where my friends live. It's kind of backwards. And so as an investor, there's a difference between what we would call consumer mentality and investor mentality. Consumers don't think like investors do, and investors have to learn to think more like business people. So prudent move, talk to your loan professional first. And of course, at Clear Capital Group, you guys are brokers, so you have the ability to work with lots of different lenders. And what I like about that working relationship is I can sit down with you, you can analyze my needs, my credit profile, my situation, what I already own, what I want to own, and based on that, kind of decide where to take the business.
Absolutely. We kind of have this model where when we do an exploratory consultation, that's what we do. We identify the options available to you. We determine a strategy. And then based on your goals and strategy, we help you achieve it through getting you connected with the right lender, with the right terms, with the right tools to achieve your goals. And so that's what we do.
All right, Joe. Well, this has been great stuff. If this sounds good to you and you're interested in finding out more about alternative sources of financing, Joe's put together a great report called Tools for Funding Your Real Estate Investment Business. And of course, it's the things we've talked about that can fund real estate purchases, as well as things like unsecured business lines or credit. So great stuff. Joe, thanks for your time today and thanks for being on the program.
I'm excited to be here and thank you for your time.
You bet. If you'd like a copy of Joe's report, all you have to do is send an email to tools@realestateguysradio.com. That's tools@realestateguysradio.com. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys Radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Need help with your real estate investment portfolio? Check out the resources page at realestateguysradio.com.
It's Robert Helms. Thanks so much for listening to the show today. I want to personally invite you to come see an amazing real estate market that combines excellent cash flow, offshore diversification, and what we affectionately call lifestyle investing. Come join me from August 18th to 21st in the beautiful country of Belize. The Real Estate Guys have been bringing investors to Belize for more than 10 years now, and our discovery trip is designed to show you the market like nobody else can. Sure, Belize is breathtakingly beautiful. The people are wonderful, and wait till you taste the food. But the real opportunity is the real estate investment potential. 2016 was the biggest year in tourism Belize has ever witnessed, and this year is off to an even better start. How does that translate to real estate investment? Well, that's what you have to come see. There's all types of opportunity in Belize when it comes to real estate investing, including both long and short-term rentals, commercial and retail triple net properties, business opportunities, land acquisition, development, agriculture, and more. And as the only country in Latin America with English as its official language, it's easy to understand the law, property rights are strong, and contracts are in English. And in Ambergris Key, Belize, a unique situation exists where demand for rentals continues to outstrip supply, creating a compelling environment for investors. So come see for yourself. Join me on August 18th to 21st in Ambergris Key, Belize, as we study the market, learn about the sustainable drivers, and tour lots of beautiful real estate. And like all of our field trips, there are no properties for sale during the weekend. Rather, you'll meet lots of providers that will help educate you about the market so you can follow up with them after the trip if the market seems interesting to you. That ball will be in your court, though. You'll receive their contact details, but they won't receive yours unless you give it to them. You've heard about Belize on the Real Estate Guys for all these years. Now come see what all the excitement is about. Plus, we'll have lots of time over meals and activities to talk about all things real estate. To get the details, go to the website at realestateguysradio.com and click on events where you'll find the Belize Discovery Trips. Once you register, you'll get information about our group hotel rates as well as travel details. So join me in Belize. It's a beautiful country with lots of amazing possibilities, and the only thing missing is you. Go to realestateguysradio.com under events. I look forward to seeing you in beautiful Belize.
Hey, this is Phil Collin from Def Leppard and Delta Deep. You're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
And welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. If you've ever wanted to do bigger deals using other people's money, then come on out to The Secrets of Successful Syndication. It's happening in September in Dallas, Texas. We'd love to have you there. Great to hear from Mr. Joe Nielsen.
Yeah, it's really exciting. As is my fashion, I've got pages of notes, but this topic is especially interesting to me because I spent so much time in the mortgage business. I got into the mortgage business because I wanted to understand the secrets of financing. And I became a financial strategist because it was a lot more interesting to me to figure out how to apply the tools than necessarily how to fill out forms and just get the loan through underwriting. So I always had a team of people doing that. I spent all my time on strategic application. And there are some new things that are out that I wasn't familiar with. And I never really got fully into some of these alternative fundings because there was so much we could do back in the day just in conventional financing and the what they called Alt-A, where we did the big cash out refinances and optimized equity. But you know, now that we've spent so much time working with syndicators, and syndication is really the business of raising money. And so you're investing, but you're also running a business. And so to have access to credit lines that serve both needs is really, really fascinating to me. You know, and one of the other things that we talked about, we had this conversation off mic, the idea that you can actually begin to build up some of the necessary experience by partnering with somebody who already has it. So if you're somebody out there that has experience doing a certain type of deal, you can offer your experience to somebody who is trying to build credit in that area and let them do a deal with you and be on the loan with you.
Well, credit and credibility. I mean, we talk about this in syndication a lot. If you know a market well or a product type well, but you maybe don't have the financial ability, or you're looking for that partner that's done the fix and flips because you see a market opportunity or a particular neighborhood that you've got access into, well, partnerships are great. Partnerships are powerful for lots of reasons because people bring different things to the party. This is a case where the financial qualification can also look different depending on the partner's experience.
Well, and so this is the thing is a lot of times when we do strategy consultations with our syndication students, one of the things that they don't realize is things they have that are usable, that are leverageable. They just look at their balance sheet. They look at their financial statements. We talk all the time about the 7 investor essentials. You know, you have cash, equity, credit, cash flow. Those are financial, but you also have time, skills, and relationships. What your resume is something that's leverageable. You can lease your credit out. You can do a deal with someone who has poor credit but great experience. You can help them get the loan. You get the experience of their investing resume, and they get the benefit of getting the loan through your credit resume. So you're literally building each other's credibility in two different areas. So two people who have complementary needs can get together and begin to build their experience and credit profiles together at the same time. And having a guy like Joe on your team to help guide you through what that process looks like is powerful. I mean, if you're out there and you've been to our Secrets of Successful Syndication seminar, you for sure ought to download that report and read it because it really is fascinating. There's things available right now that I had no idea even existed. I'm personally very excited about several of these tools that Joe's been talking about.
Well, especially because we, you know, again, echoing what Joe reminded us all of is that real estate investing is a business. And when you start out, you don't necessarily think of it that way because you got a job, you got your own business doing something else, and you're just adding a property in your portfolio every year. But pretty soon, it requires your attention. And if that's part of your goal, to be full-time real estate investing, well, then this is something you should start thinking about now. How do I design not just my portfolio, but my business from a creditworthy sense?
Right. And the other thing that came up that I thought was really important, and I used to make this argument all the time, people not knowing the difference when they're dealing directly with a lender and when they're dealing with a broker. And when you go in to deal with a lender, a loan officer, say at a commercial bank, or you have a banking relationship and you're interested in establishing a business line of credit, they are representing the bank. And they are going to offer to you what the bank says. They're going to try to get out of you whatever they need to know to get the thing underwritten. And they're not necessarily in the business of coaching you on how to put your best foot forward. Now, it's a fine line. You don't lie to a lender, any lender, but a broker can say, hey, you know what? You can position it this way or you can position it that way. Based on the deals I've done in the past, if you do it this way, it'll work better. It's not a lie. It's just the way you put it forward. So having a broker on your team is someone that you can go to and be strategic with. And I think probably the best piece of advice Joe gave is before you go out there and get in a deal, get your funding together. And he talked about personal investment philosophy. I really think you have to have a personal funding philosophy. You really have to think about how you want to borrow and what you're willing to give up in order to get funding. Everybody's different. You know, there's risk involved in borrowing, and you have to decide how much risk you want to take. And investing, when you decide to make an investment, you decide what amount of risk-adjusted return am I willing to settle for? You always want the most, but, you know, when it's a competitive market, you're going to be coming down and you're going to have to accept risk in order to get to a reward. Well, the same thing is true in your financing. How much am I willing to pay to get that money? How much risk am I willing to take? And so understanding a little bit about yourself as a borrower, just like being an investor, is part of the process. And then you work with someone like Joe who can help you understand what the tools are and then how to present yourself in such a way that you're most likely to get the kind of loans that you're willing to accept.
Well, and if you heard the interview and you thought, wow, those rates seem expensive, let's just address that for a minute. Back to consumer versus investor mentality. A consumer wants to get the lowest interest rate they can. They're going to buy the cheapest thing they can. They're going to want to save money. An investor doesn't think like that. An investor thinks long term. It's always compared to what? You might pay a few more points, but if you get a tool that you can use again and again and again, like a revolving line of credit, well, that can more than make up for the difference in cost.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, you said a consumer thinks about saving and an investor thinks about profit. If I can make a spread, I don't care what the cost of the debt is. If it's 18% and I can get 24% on using the money, I'll take that.
Right.
That's a 6% spread or an 8% spread or whatever the numbers, I'll take that.
Yeah, but see, that's a paradigm shift for people. They would go, I wouldn't pay 18% ever. Well, really? If you made 24, would you pay 18? If you could make 22, would you pay 18? If you could make 20, right? It's arbitrage.
If you're dying of profit thirst, what price would you pay for financial water?
Right.
I've got to put my thirst out. I need to make a profit. If the cost of capital is 12 and I can make 18, I'm going to do that. If I can only make 5, then maybe I can only afford to pay 2 or 3. The markets are always going to be different. What you're looking for is not a cost of capital. You're always looking for a spread between the cost of capital and the profit of the use of that capital. And that's all an investor's ever thinking about.
Yep. And the traditional loan is not the only loan. I think we've learned that today. If you want more information about the types of products that Joe makes available to investors, just send an email to tools@realestateguysradio.com. tools@realestateguysradio.com.
I just have one other quick thought too, because the thing is, when you have these alternative forms of financing, you're not competing with every mom and pop investor out there because they're not aware of them. You have a competitive advantage. So when you invest time learning about alternative forms of financing and then developing people on your team like Joe who can help you implement those forms of financing and stay up to date on what's coming out, you have a competitive edge in the marketplace. You can do deals other people can't do because they don't have the same tools you have.
Hey, coming up in July, we're going to be headed off to Las Vegas, Nevada for Freedom Fest. It's a really interesting conference. We've been at it for years and years and years, and so many great topics and great speakers. William Shatner is the keynote this year. He's just an incredible guy. Had a chance to see him in lots of different things. He's much beyond Captain Kirk. But anyway, if you'd like to find out all the details about that, just go to our website at realestateguysradio.com. Under events, you'll see some of the places we're going this year. We'd love to to have you join us. Happy thanks to Joe for sharing his time and great information today. And again, if you want the report, tools at realestateguysradio.com. Until next week, go out and make some equity happen.
This episode of the Real Estate Guys Radio Show is brought to you by Paradigm Life, powerful cash management strategies using life insurance. Learn more at beyourbank.com. Mid-South Home Buyers, low-cost, turnkey cash flow properties in Memphis, Tennessee. Corporate Direct, asset protection strategies for real estate investors from attorney and Rich Dad advisor Garrett Sutton. Find these and other great companies under the Resources tab at realestateguysradio.com. To learn how you can expose your product or service to the Real Estate Guys audience, call 888-489-7723 extension 4. That's 888-489-7723 extension 4. Or use the feedback page at realestateguysradio.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week right here on the Real Estate Guys Radio Show.